President Trump says Iran did it. He says Iran carried out the attack on two oil tankers in the Gulf of Oman yesterday. The president made the statement during a nearly 50-minute interview on Fox and Friends this morning.
You know they did it because you saw the boat. I guess one of the mines didn't explode, and it's probably got essentially Iran written all over it. And you saw the boat at night trying to take the mine off and successfully took the mine off the boat, and that was exposed, and that was their boat, that was them.
President Trump is referring to a rather grainy video released by the U.S. military that purportedly shows Iranian special forces removing an unexploded mine from the side of one of the damaged oil tankers. Hassan Rouhani, Iran's president, denied that Tehran had anything to do with the attacks. Jim Walsh is here and now security analyst. He's with the Security Studies Program at MIT. Hello, Jim.
Good to be with you.
So set this up for us. What exactly happened between these two tankers in the Gulf and what led up to it?
Well, what happened is we've had two tankers from two different countries that were disabled by mines. Now, there's still some dispute about that. The Japanese owner of one of the tankers said that he believed, based on eyewitness testimony from his staff, that a shell or projectile of some kind had hit his ship. And there's a debate, you know, could it be a torpedo? Was it a floating mine? Was it an attached mine? I mean, the video sort of suggests that if the video is real, that it's an attached mine. So we've had two tankers disabled. No one killed, no one injured. But this is in a broader context. You'll remember a few weeks ago, another couple of tankers were attacked. And then really the starting point for all this, if we really are trying to get to the origins, is that the U.S. adopted a policy, President Trump's policy, of maximum pressure, including trying to drive Iran's oil exports to zero. The president is trying to strangle Iran economically, to destroy its economy. And, you know, surprise, surprise, rather than simply lying on the ground and saying, kick me again, you know, it may be that Iran is pushing back. Now, it may be that there are others who are responsible for that. This is a so-called false flag operation. But I just don't think, you know, we have enough information to be able to assess that at this point.
But if these two tankers, neither of these two tankers were flagged to the United States, so why would Iran want to attack two tankers that had nothing to do with Donald Trump, presumably?
Of course. So the reason is that Iran has said, Iran has said for some time that if it's denied the ability to export oil in the Persian Gulf, then no one is going to be able to export. These are their words, not mine. And it's a way for them to sort of raise the cost of this maximum pressure policy that's being enforced upon them.
By trying to basically scuttle or at least interrupt any kind of oil flow
to get some leverage. Exactly.
Itself.
I mean, in some ways, this is like a fight, you know, at a sporting event. Some guy throws a punch. The other guy retaliates. The ref sees the guy retaliating and calls the foul. Now, of course, no one should be punching anyone and no one should be, hurting tankers in the Gulf. But the reason why we are here in the first place is that we're trying to deny Iran any ability to export its main, the backbone of its economy, which is oil.
Well, in the case of sports, there's usually a pretty good quality video. In this case, there is a rather grainy video, which you have seen. Does it tell us anything?
You know, I don't think it tells you that much. It is grainy. You can't really tell the identity of the people. I mean, you know, if it was a false flag, and again, I have some doubts about this, you know, people would be in a boat in uniforms that were of the country they were trying to implicate. It's weirdly cropped. It sort of starts way, you know, we don't see the boat coming. We only see the video of someone trying to remove something, and then we don't see where the boat goes afterwards. So hardly conclusive. But I would urge our listeners to not focus on this. This is sort of the equivalent of a horse race coverage for politics. Who's ahead? Who's behind? And in this case, it's the whodunit. Who is responsible for this? And we have this exciting, grainy video to look. This is a distraction. The question is not who. The question is why. Why is this happening? And it's happening because we're pursuing a policy that's intended to strangle Iran. Iran is pushing back. And if we continue down this path, we're going to end up in yet another war in the Middle East. That's the big question. Why are we doing this?
So I wonder if you can answer that, because at the same time that the president is blaming Iran, he's also talking about negotiating with Iran.
Yeah. So he's gone back and forth on this, right? First, when he announced that he was pulling out of the deal, we want to negotiate, but we're not ready to do it. Then a couple of weeks ago, when we had a couple of these incidents, he said, call me. You know, he gave out his phone number and said, call me. Imagine you're in a relationship, a business relationship, a family relationship, a romantic relationship, and you have a commitment with someone. And that person then walks out on the commitment and not only walks out, insults you, threatens you, hurts you, threatens your allies, and tries to steal all the money out of your bank account. And then they say, call me.
Come for dinner.
Yeah, I mean.
Do you think the United States, the President Trump, wants a military confrontation with Iran?
I don't think the president has a strategic bone in his body. And so I think there are days when he said, no, I don't want to get tangled up in a war in the Middle East. And then there are going to be other days when he says, I need to hit back. I there's nothing in this presidency that suggests to me a through curve here that suggests a strategy. I think he's all, as he has said himself, a counterpuncher. He goes with the gut. I don't think he has a plan. I think there are other people in the administration who have a plan. You know, the National Security Advisor and the Secretary of State have called for regime change in the past. So I think, you know, anything could happen on any given day. But the general trend is towards accidental war or intentional war.
And you know this part of the world very well. The chances of this happening accidentally, some kind of confrontation?
Well, what happens is something happens, and then each side feels compelled to respond, to save face. Or each side feels, well, if I take it up a notch, the other side will back down. And in some ways, President Trump sort of encouraged the Iranians to have that view, because when this whole thing went down again 2 weeks ago, he sort of caved. You know, sort of rushed to say, oh, I want to talk. Well, what did the IRGC, how did they think about that? They probably thought, hey, this guy's a softie. And then they do something and then you're off to the races. So that's why it's so dangerous.
Jim Walsh, Here and Now security analyst with the Security Studies Program at MIT. Nice to have you here.
Good to be with you.